Good morning. Greetings in the name of Christ this morning. It's terrific to be with you again. Should we bow our heads for prayer? Lord, we come before you this morning. We come in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we come with hearts that are a longing to be filled. I just pray that you would just work with us here this morning in our hearts and in our minds, that your spirit would be present and that you would speak to us. I pray that this whole service would be for your glory, Lord. I thank you for what we've already heard and learned. And I just pray that we'd find a real lodging in our hearts and that we could be changed by your word and by your spirit's work in our lives. In the name of Jesus, we pray it. Amen. I find the story of Peter's denial and the capture of Jesus all that fascinating, as I'm sure all of you do as well. And I think a lot of us identify with Peter and his failings and his intentions and how he thought that it was impossible that he would be that guy, that he'd be that man, the man who failed Jesus right when he needed him the very most. In Peter's mind, I'm convinced that he thought of himself as a defender of Christ, as a defender of his agenda and all that entailed. But instead, well, who was he? He was the one who ended up failing him when he was needed the most. And really enjoyed our Sunday school's discussion on that this morning. And I would actually like to skip a couple of chapters forward for the opening keep on going to John 21 for the opening this morning. And if you're like Peter, and if you're like me, if you're like a lot of us, that the things that you face in life, they feel bigger than you. It feels sometimes like you're out of control, which is probably the way it should feel because you likely are out of control. You know, it's not given to man to direct his own steps, even is what the Bible says. But you know, often the situations that we face, they feel bigger than we can handle. And we react in frustration or we react in panic and then we look back at those situations and maybe we look back at them with guilt or with self-condemnation or with fear. Or maybe we just are just about tired of it all. And we've tried long enough, we've tried hard enough, we've done our level best, and it never comes up to what we have in our own minds, maybe the expectations of those around us. It just feels like we're not there. And maybe that's a little bit the way Peter felt. You know, he had come through this experience. He had denied Christ. He had seen the trial. He had seen the crucifixion. And he had also experienced the resurrection. He had been there and witnessed this confusing drama of the resurrection. And it seems like it left him, rather than empowered, it still left him dazed or confused. Or he still didn't know what was going on. And so with that in mind, let's start reading in chapter 21 of John. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and in this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go fishing. You ever feel like that? You have just had enough. I just want to go fishing. There you are. You've got your friend with Peter here. I'm just tired of it. I don't know what's going on. All I know is that I'm worn out and I'm confused and I've done all the wrong things. I just want out of here. I just want to go fishing. They say unto them, we also go with thee. So he had company. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, children, have you any meat? They answered him, no. And he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Beautiful thing about stories is that they all talk to us in different ways, different pieces, come out at us. I'm going to talk about just a few of the things in this story that spoke to me. And one of them is the fact that Jesus did not condemn Peter or the disciples for going fishing. They were humans and he knew it. And he met them going fishing. And you know, maybe sometimes when we do feel overwhelmed and we do feel like maybe we've made all the wrong choices or maybe we haven't lived up to the standard that we have set for ourselves or that others have set for us. And we're feeling in that place. And that's where we're living and we're confused and you're not sure what to do. Jesus can meet you right there. And he meets you there without condemnation. And he met them with a miracle. And you know, we can study the teachings of Christ, and we do with joy, and we love it. We read through the Sermon on the Mount, read through his parables, read through all these different things, but there's something that you won't get from the teachings of Christ if you don't just look at the story of Christ and the way he approached people and the way he met their needs and his understanding and his compassion. And, you know, maybe there are people in your life who are gone fishing. And maybe you're trying to help them. Maybe they're your children. Or maybe they're your spouse. You know, and sometimes it's us, too. But there are people who aren't necessarily responding correctly to this thing called life. And it's too big for them. It's too hard for them. They've tried. They swung their swords and cut off Malchus's ear. But when it really came to it, when we really needed them, when it was time, they flaked out. And now they're somewhere fishing in their mind. They're not engaged. They're not there. They're not. You need them and they're not there. Just like Jesus needed his disciples to take this next step and they were out fishing. What are we going to do? How are we going to respond? How are you going to treat those people? Are you going to quote all the scriptures on duty to them? Are you going to land on them hard and tell them where the truth lies? Or are you going to be like Jesus, showing up in their lives with mercy, with compassion, with some fish on the coals for them? I think the way we treat each other says a lot about the relationship that we ourselves have with the Lord. So just moving on, I know there's a lot more to be drawn from this, but I'm not going to. One of the things that we need to understand about the disciples was that they had a relationship with the Lord. This is a presupposition of the promises that are made to New Testament believers, is that we have a relationship with the Lord. The promises of God are made for his children. They're made for people who reach out and grab a hold of him, however imperfectly, however many times they stumble, however human we are. They're made for people who have a relationship with the Lord, in whose lives the Holy Spirit has a voice that is listened to. If we don't have that in our lives, if that's not true of us, those promises aren't ours to claim. But they did. And in that environment, because of that, Jesus was able to reach out to them. And this miracle happened. And then we've got this moment of this epiphany. When Peter realizes what's going on, because they still didn't know who this man was that was calling to them from the shore. Therefore, verse 7, that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, it is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girded his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. And as soon as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish lay thereon, and bread. Remember that the fish still hadn't arrived yet. So Jesus, I don't know, did he go and catch the fish that morning. I don't know what happened there. But anyway, he had this food already prepared for them. Jesus saith unto them, bring of the fish which ye have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, 153. And for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Jesus saith unto them, come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, who art thou? Knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them the fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that he was risen from the dead. And you know, some things strike me about Peter and who he thought he, where he thought he was in life. By tradition, Peter was one of the oldest of the disciples. I don't know exactly how old, but some people feel he may have been in his 40s or 50s by this time. And you know, we tend to give some grace to young people to make mistakes, right? Young people can make mistakes, and we say that's youth, and then they grow out of, you know, you're supposed to grow out of your mistakes, sort of, right? That's sort of the idea. Peter made a grown man's mistakes here, a grown man's sins. And he made the wrong choices when he should have made the right choices. He had the opportunity, he had the direction, he had the teaching to make the right choices, and he made the wrong choices. And he could have, like Judas, simply given up in despair, but he didn't. And what's inspirational to me about Peter here is that he probably thought that his work for Christ, that period was coming to a close, was drawing to an end in his life. And what he did not know was it was just the beginning. This was just the start. And you know, the same can be true of you if you're facing a difficulty. If you feel you've had all the opportunities to make the right choices, to do the right things, and against your better judgment, against your better knowledge, against the advice of others, you've made a flop of it. That's not the end. It's never the end. It can be just the beginning, which is what it was in Peter's case. Come and dine. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, you know that I love you. He saith unto him, feed my lambs. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, feed my sheep. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walked whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee, and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, follow me. We spend a lot of time teaching our young people and our children. We spend a lot of time preaching about the right things to do and the right ways to live and the right way to go at things. And I think that's good and that's fine. But none of it means anything if we don't have a relationship with the Lord. None of it means anything, according to Paul, 1 Corinthians, if we don't have a love for God. There isn't love in our hearts for him. And it's interesting that Jesus doesn't say, Simon, son of Jonas, are you willing to obey me? Or are you willing to do your duty by me? Or do you admit your fault? It's Simon, do you love me? And that's a question I think we need to be asking ourselves. And sometimes we can pat ourselves on the back for doing the right thing consistently, for doing our duty every time, for being the one who can be counted on every time, for not denying Jesus every time. But do we love him? Do we know him? Ask yourself the right questions. It's going to make all the difference in how we go at life. And it's going to make all the difference in whether the Spirit of God really can reach in and change us. Because it's as we were discussing in our Sunday school lesson this morning, good advice, articulately given, or powerfully given, or dramatically given, you can be hit in the head with God's baseball bat, or can get struck by lightning, or whatever it happens. If we aren't willing to be taught, we won't be taught. If we don't have the love for God and a yearning for His ways in our lives, we will not be forced into His kingdom. And, you know, Peter, he's sort of backed into a corner here three times. And I'm certain that, you know, vividly, each of these three times, he knew what was going on. He knew why Jesus was talking to him. He remembered vividly that night at the high priest's house. And if you have ever been made a mistake and been told of it three times, you probably know a little bit how Peter felt. And at some point, he just said, you know, it's true. Have mercy on me. I admit it. And Jesus didn't let him off the hook, though, did he? He just said, do you love me? What are you going to do about it? Essentially what he's saying. Follow me. But then Peter, like I said, he's at some point, he's saying, hey, there's more here than me. And he says, verse 20, Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? Jesus saith unto him, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. Sometimes we are experts at the life and times of those around us. What they have done, how they have failed, what they should be doing, how they should do it, when they should do it. You know, we have that all figured out. What does Jesus say? He says, you. I'm not talking to him, I'm talking to you. And if we would all have that, if Jesus can speak into all of our lives in that way, and he can say, David, and Josh, and Ralph, and Jedediah, every one of us, speak into our lives and say, talking to you, do you love me? What are you going to do about it? And we would answer. Can you imagine the power that would come out of that? But when we sit here looking at each other and saying, yeah, but what about her? What about him? And if you only knew, and words like that, it's what you have is stagnation and stalemate. Things don't move. But what Jesus asks is intensely personal, just as our relationship with him is personal. Follow me. Do you love me? Follow me. And when we are better at finding faults in those around us than we are in sacrificing ourselves to each other as a remedy to those faults, is it safe to say that the Spirit of God is not in that kind of an attitude? He who gave himself as a ransom for those who did not deserve it, still gives that spirit to his people today. So whoever you are, whether you're an older brother or older sister, whether you're a teacher, whether you're a Sunday school teacher, whether you're a dad or a mom, or whether you're just a friend, feed the sheep in your life. Because of the love that you have for the Lord. And if that love seems to be drawing cold, if you feel like going fishing, never give up on your pursuit for Christ, and you're chasing that relationship. Nothing should be more precious to us than the Lord. God has a work for you to do. Your very failings may have made you uniquely suited to that work if you'll simply allow God in at this point in your life. Follow Christ where he leads you. I'm just going to finish reading this Then when this saying abroad among the brethren that the disciple should not die, yet Jesus said not unto him, he shall not die, but if I will it, he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? This is the disciple which testifieth of these things, and wrote these things, and we know that his testimony is true. And there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Amen. Excuse me. And, you know, the things that Christ still wants to do, that he is still doing in this world, the books are still being written. And they can be written right here in this church. They can be written in your life, in your family. Victories won. People changed. The world set on fire. If we're willing to follow him where he leads us. Shall we kneel for prayer?